Welcome to the Jewish Prayer Podcast, where we uncover the depth, beauty, and relevance of the timeless words of Jewish prayer. Whether you're a veteran davener or have never stepped inside a synagogue, this podcast will transform how you see prayer and life. For any questions or comments, email us at rabbilindenbaum@gmail.com. Here is your host, Rabbi Yossi Lindenbaum.
Okay, here we go. We're going to start here our tefillah shiur. This is something that has been requested for a very long time. Yeah, very fancy, I know. By many, many people. And for good reason. We spend, many of us spend a lot of time davening. Many, I would say average people spend an hour and a half, an hour and a quarter every single day. If you include all the brachas you make and even other things. Shabbos, it's even more. And we don't find it so meaningful for the most part. So we're going to try to help it like that. I think it's helpful. Something that I personally am challenged with. It's not something that's so easy for me. So hopefully through studying it together, we will be able to accomplish that. Just a few words of introduction. First of all, besides the audience in the room, there is a target audience, a larger group of people, some of them very beginners. So we're definitely going to start from the beginning. We're going to try to be very clear about everything and say everything in English. And but I think we'll, whatever level you're on, there'll be what to learn from. And the truth is, prayer, well, let's see. The plan is we're going to do like this. We're going to have I think this week is going to be a little bit different than what people are expecting from a class on tefillah and prayer. It's going to be more introduction, but this is the only way I can do it. I can't just jump in to talk about tefillah, go through specific tefillos before I understand what tefillah is. But the plan is we're going to spend about four classes, I think, introducing what tefillah is, what prayer is. And after we understand what it is, we'll really break it down, meat and potatoes, go through each prayer that we say, understand it, translate it, try to figure out what we're supposed to do. Okay? The Gemara, of course, says it's one of the things that constantly need chizuk. Okay? The fact that someone doesn't feel prayer and it's something that's hard for them is not a new thing. It's over 2,000 years old that the Gemara says that one of the things that constantly need, four things need chizuk, constantly four things need to improvement. We have to work on our whole lives, and one of them is prayer. So this is something that we definitely, it's a constant struggle throughout our lives, but that doesn't mean that we're at the same point. Just because we're struggling on something, you know, somebody who's working and has a challenge in the gym, they're always challenged. That doesn't mean that they're lifting the same weight their whole life. They keep pushing themselves more. So in our davening, in our prayer, hopefully we're not having the same challenge we are when we're 5, as we are when we're 10, as we are when we're 20. And the truth is, for a lot of us, it is. Our davening today doesn't look so different than it did 10 years ago or 20 years ago, which is a scary thought. So hopefully with these classes, with Shishurim, we will accomplish something. Okay, here we go. Firstly, what is davening? What does the word what is prayer? Okay, davening is the Yiddish word for prayer. We're going to use that word a lot. We're not going to translate that each time to daven. What is that? What does praying mean? What is the word prayer? What does that mean? What? Yeah, someone can answer. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, because we got to think about it. What?
Pray.
What do you mean? P-R-E-Y, like pray, like the, no, it's a different word, it's a different English word. Pray, P-R-E-Y. What does pray mean? What does daven mean? So simply put, davening, okay, good, so I'm glad we're having this. It's talking to God, that's exactly what it is, okay? No more, no less. It's talking to God. Now, what type of things do you say to God? It is just before even we get deeper. You talk to God, what do you say to Him? So overall, we have three types of things we could say. Those of us who daven every day know this. There are three types of things we say. What do we say? Thank you. Yeah, definitely a lot of thank you.
Forgive me.
We ask for something and we praise, okay? What the Gemara calls praising Him, asking for things, and thanking Him. And the Gemara, and later we'll see that there's actually a special order in the way we do it. We always sandwich it in a certain way, and we'll get to that. let's understand a little bit of what it's supposed to do. And I think the biggest problem that people have is when it comes to, really all of them are problematic. Maybe we're so used to it, so we don't think about it. But when you ask for something, okay? Does it make sense to ask Hashem for something? Does it make sense to ask God for something? What do I mean? Doesn't make sense. So you're ready with me. You know the question already. Doesn't make so much sense to ask. The way they ask it, philosophically, they say, if God is omnipotent, omniscient, and benevolent, it doesn't make any sense. All right, we're going to translate this into English now.
Yeah, that was English.
Omnipotent, omniscient, and benevolent. So what does that mean? That means that, okay, if you're praying to God, that means you think he understands what you're saying, right? That's assuming that he hears what I'm saying, right? Even though I'm praying here, he hears me. That's step one. I also, when I pray, that means I believe, let's say I ask for something. Okay, let's give a good example. I have a typical time, most people come to prayer, someone's sick in their life. Okay, so I have this great aunt Hilda, and I want to pray for her because she's sick. So I believe that God hears me, and God, Hashem, has the ability to cure her. And I also believe, now if he's a mean guy up there, he'll hear me and he'll be like, haha, too bad, she's going to die. But no, we don't believe that. We believe that he's kind. So in English, benevolent means that he's kind. Omnipotent means he's omniscient means he's all-knowing. That means he understands me. Omnipotent means he's all-capable, that he can do anything. So if I believe all those things, and I obviously do, someone who's praying believes all these things. By the way, we should really, not for the audience here, of course, but for some of the audience, we should talk about can an atheist pray? Is there a place for an atheist to pray? Remind me.
It's an oxymoron.
All right, so in a few classes. Okay, so maybe, maybe the end of next class we'll get to it. Okay? Or we'll see when we get to it. So, but let's say I believe, but it still doesn't make any sense. Meaning if I believe, I'm sitting there and praying, and I believe that he hears me, and he wants what's best for me, and he's able to do what's best for me, why wouldn't he do that without me even asking for it? Now, I assumed that God was going to kill off great Aunt Hilda, but now that I asked for it, what happened? Mikar Maikasavar, Vasaif Maikasavar. What was he thinking and what changed? Did he originally say, I was going to kill her, or I didn't know about that you were sick, but thank you for bringing my attention now that you got online and you said to Misha Beirach and you said to Fush Lema, now that I know that this person's also sick. Or you say, no, Hashem knew that this person was sick, didn't really care very much. So now that you mention it, whatever, David, you're such a nice guy, you mentioned that I have to do something about it. Why would davening change?
There's also a third option.
What is?
The third option is that he doesn't answer prayer. He answers the first piece of meaning.
You asked me a separate question. Is we find in our personal lives that often God doesn't answer our prayers. But I'm asking before, how could we even expect him to answer our prayers? How is this process supposed to work? Okay? So, to answer it, we'll look at the Hebrew. Those who don't know, Hebrew is a very deep language. There are no homonyms in Hebrew. Okay, another English one. Teacher learning English. I'm going to have to translate my Hebrew and my Yiddish English and translate my English into
Russian.
So there are no homonyms, there are no synonyms. But let's talk about homonyms. Homonyms are two. What are homonyms? No.
Sound
the same, right? Synonym means they mean the same. Two synonyms are two different words that mean the same things. Homonyms are two words that sound the same that mean different things. So in Hebrew, overall, this is the catchphrase. You don't have to buy it, but the idea is that there are no two words. If the two words sound the same, that means they mean the same thing. And in Jewish we say it's the same shayrish. Okay, so what's the shayrish of the word? What's the root word of? So the Hebrew word is lehispalel, to daven. But where does that word come from? So the word palel comes up sometimes in the Chumash and the Torah. Means to what? Palel is plilim. Plilim are judges. Yeah. Plilim. It says it a few times in the Torah. Plilim. I think they even use it in modern Hebrew. Plilim is to judge. Now the conjugation, which means the form of the word, lehispalel, means lehispalel means to judge oneself. That tefillah is really judging oneself. Now, in what way is when somebody prays judging oneself? So let's give an example. Let's say you're driving down the road, my most recent prayer, okay? Guy is driving down and a guy like cut me off, something very dangerous. And I said, I really hope that guy gets into an accident down the road. Okay, that's a very common prayer, everyone. Yeah, everyone does that or just me? Okay, what? I pray to God, I say, I hope that guy gets into an accident. And then I'm driving a little more, and I see him, and I think about it. And really, if I were to think about it a little bit better, what do I want the guy to get into an accident for? He made me upset a little bit. That's not worth it for him to do that. And more, why should I be getting upset about such things? So he cut me off, he insulted my ego a little bit. I should calm down. And hopefully, as I move through this prayer, I change. Meaning, originally, yes, that's what I wanted. But as I understand, especially when I start talking to Hashem, and I say, wait a second, God, there's Hashem in the world. He's the one who's in charge of how these things are going to happen. He's the one who made that even happen. So what am I getting so upset about? And my prayer changes, and in that case, my prayer kind of falls by the wayside. But really, this happens a lot of times. You know, so a friend of mine told me that they were dating for a very long time. And they very much wanted to get married, and they were davening for Shidduchim. But they said that, I think it was over 12 years that they were dating, that the prayer, the davening for Shidduch, changed vastly over those 12 years. When I first came back, you know, from seminary, I said, you know, I want a Shidduch. Why? I don't know, I want a dress, I want a wedding. As time goes on, they're like, you know, what am I asking, what do I need a... I want a dress. That's not what it's about. I don't even care about the dress. I just want to be with somebody. It's too lonely. I want to have that companionship. I want to be married to someone. As time goes on, you say, okay, listen, it's not even about that. It's, you know, Hashem, you're in charge of the world. You created me. You want me to get married. I want to get married because I want you, because you want me to get married. And it gets refined. But as time goes on, your prayers is a very different prayer. You're no longer asking for selfish, silly reasons. You're now asking for something for godly, for lofty reasons. So, the self-judgment, so what happens? The way to look at it is that it's not that Hashem's changing his mind. When I asked him for a shidduch when I was 18, when I asked him to get married when I was 18, and he said no, he didn't change his mind because I asked him enough times. But we changed. The person who he said no to is very different than the person that he said yes to. Prayer is self-reflection. Is a person changes through prayer. When a person prays for their great aunt Hilda, you know, maybe they're not thinking, but as time goes on, they pray more. Sometimes it could happen in even one setting. While I'm sitting there praying, I move on and I gain intention and I understand. And Hashem says, you know what, I wasn't going to, but now, you see, we're not changing his mind and we're not making him aware of what is going on. That is not necessary. That was our question. But the answer is, what we are doing is that when it started, he said, no, you don't deserve that job. You don't deserve to get that thing that you're praying for. But now, after you prayed and you became a different person, you became a God-centered person, you became a less selfish person, now you are deserving of it. So, very interesting that the prayer, again, comes from this word to self-reflect, to self-judge. Let's do one more, because we got a lot to cover. I don't want to spend too much time in introduction. I want to get down to the meat and potatoes of it. There's another word, there's another purpose in prayer, and it's really, again, based on the Hebrew word lispalel. Lispalel does mean something else, and that they find the root word, again, a very uncommon word in the Torah, but by one of the children of Yaakov, it says his name was Naphtali. And the reason why he was called Naphtali was Naphtula Likim Niftalti, that Hashem, and according to some that's interpreted, that Hashem has tied me up. It was like a language of being tied into knots. Okay, so prayer is lispalel is to tie a knot. No, where are you tying a knot? Who are you tying a knot? How is prayer tying a knot? No, but prayer, where is the prayer? Right, tefillin may have the same root word, but where is prayer? So it's what it is, davening is connecting ourselves to Hashem. If, like we said before, davening means talking to Hashem. So when you talk to, the way you develop any relationship with anyone, when you're trying to marry someone, you develop a relationship by talk, going on dates. I don't know what other people do. By us, we sit and you talk to them. That's how you develop a relationship with somebody. Usually, and any person, what?
Usually the other person talks back.
Oh, okay, okay. Good, good point. No, it's a good point. Yeah, it is an awkward date, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that. That's important. That's another step. But it is a connection to... It is a connection. It is, that is kind of what prayer is about. It says that Hashem made, is a hard idea to understand, but he said he made the mothers. One thing that many of the holy women in the Torah had in common is that they were barren. They couldn't have children. And it said, the rabbis say, the reason is because Hashem loved their prayer. What do you mean love their prayer? What's the love about prayer? But if you understand that prayer is a way of connecting to someone, he wanted to develop that connection. It's still a hard concept to understand. Why would he cause somebody to suffer in order to create that connection? But to leave that as a side, that is the other thing that prayer is doing. So now we have two definitions for the word tefillah. And really, I believe they're both true. There are two parts of tefillah. It's self-reflecting and changing oneself and building a connection to Hashem. Now, we're not going to discuss so much the concepts, all the concepts behind prayer, behind davening, even though we dealt, obviously, with some tonight. But a little bit, you know, one of the major questions is, are tefillahs are not answered? As an aside, it could be the purpose of tefillahs, not just to get answered. Meaning, what was your goal there? If your goal is to self-reflect, if your goal is just to get answered, yeah, maybe not. But if it's to change yourself as a person, you will change yourself as a person when you daven. And if its a goal is to connect to Hashem, then you will connect to Hashem when you daven, regardless of whether you're answered or not. Again, it is a good question. Why do we feel that we're not answered? How can we get our prayers answered? But that's not necessarily even the point of davening. Yes, we're asking for things, but the point is not about getting it. It's not a candy machine that we pray and then we get it and then we're done. There's a point to it. The point is to develop as a person, to refine yourself, to judge yourself, and to connect Hashem. Now the question that we're going to leave off for next time is, that's a beautiful idea. Let's say it's a beautiful idea. Let's say we touch somebody's heart and like, wow, that's a really nice idea. That's how you pray. Problem is that I've been to shul many, many times, and that's not what happens. That's not what we're doing there. We're not reflecting. We're not connecting. We're not doing anything. So what's up with that? Why do we do all that? Maybe I've had, you know, 3 moments in my life where I've done some of that stuff. Now that you mention it, I could reflect back on that. But to connect that to what's happening in a shul, you know, 3 times a day is very hard. And that's what we'll start from next time. Okay? Sounds good. Yasher koach. Thank you very much for listening. For questions, comments, and sponsorship opportunities, please email us at rabbilindenbaum@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.